Jnanjanashlakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha. Actually, this is called Harinam Diksha, or the initiation into the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And so, and also the accepting of a spiritual master in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and also the accepting of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada as the ultimate goal and focus of our lives, and also accepting Srila Prabhupada's mission, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as the mission and focus of one's devotional service. So this is very, very important. Many people execute spirituality or even chant Hare Krishna and follow the rules and regulations of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. However, if one wants to satisfy Krishna in the best possible way, and satisfying Krishna in the best possible way means to relieve Krishna's anxiety. Because God, Krishna, is always happy, always joyful, always performing His pastimes. But He has some anxiety. Not anxiety like most people have over money. Not anxiety over health. Not anxiety over the weather, because He controls all those things. But there's one thing that Krishna voluntarily does not control. And that one thing is us. Krishna could do that. Krishna could do anything. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishwaram Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nadi Radhya Govinda Sarva Karana Kandanam. Krishna could control anything He wants. But He doesn't control us because He wants our love. And love does not come by force. It comes voluntarily. If Krishna controlled us, then we would not be individual, voluntary, independent, jiva souls, and not capable of loving Krishna. We would not be capable of loving Krishna. So therefore, Krishna allows us this independence. Yet, Krishna loves us so much that He wants us to be happy. And He understands the only way, according to our constitutional position, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivera Svarupohai, Nitya, Krishna, Das, the only way is if we're serving Him. It's not that Krishna's selfish and He thinks, I need servants. You know, not enough people are serving me. He has plenty of people, plenty of entities serving Him in the spiritual world. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambharma Sevamanam. He has unlimited numbers of Lakshmis cooking for Him, serving Him, fanning Him, doing whatever He wants. So Krishna is not an anxiety because He needs service. But He's an anxiety because He loves us. What is love? Love means to be concerned with someone and not even considering to any extent your own needs. That's Krishna. Krishna has pure love for the living entities. I mean, one example of pure love is that Krishna remains in your heart. Sarasya chavam riti sanavishto matakspritir gyanam polam chavam. Also, Ishwara sarvabhutanam radesha arjuna tishtiti Avramayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani moya. Krishna remains in the heart watching us do all the nonsense that we're doing, and He doesn't leave us. Most people, if you are with someone who does nonsense, you would say, get the whatever out of here. Right? I don't want to see you again. I don't want to see your face again. So, but that's love. Just like a loving parent A loving parent, the child can be biggest rascal in the world. Or just like the example Prabhupada gave, that one can have a child that's blind and the mother is thinking the child is Padmalocha. Right? The child could be a demon. I mean, like even Aranyakashipu and Aranyaksha. They were certainly demoniac in many different ways. Yet their mother Diti loved them so much that when they died, the blood came from her breast. The story of the Bhagavatam. She loved them so much. And then not only that, she loved them so much that she made a plan to kill Indra. She was doing this Payovrata. Story in Bhagavatam. She was making a plan to kill Indra. Fortunately, by the time she finished her Payovrata, she became a little purified. So she didn't want to kill Indra. But still, the love for her children were there. And the same way, Krishna's love for us is so intense that we're doing everything wrong. We're disobeying him in every way in this material world. We're trying to imitate him. And yet he stays around in our hearts. Of course, the example in the Upanishads given is there's two birds in the same, the Sri Tasvatara Upanishad, there's two birds in the same tree. One is eating the fruits, and the other one is watching. So Krishna is watching. That's real love. Krishna is watching us. Of course, he's in anxiety. When is this fool going to come back to me? There's a story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about that. There's one very nice little coward boy born in Vrindavan. His name was Gopa Kumar. And Gopa Kumar, as a coward boy, was wandering around the fields in Vrindavan, around Govardhan Hill, and he met this person. His name was Jayanta. He found that out later on. And Jayanta said, "Hey, little boy, I'll give you a mantra that'll make your life perfect." So he whispered in the little boy's ear and gave him what's called the Gopal mantra. And the boy started to chant, and then he went through a whole bunch of different experiences, the boy, because by that mantra, he was able to transfer himself to different places, even the heavenly planets, above the heavenly planets, to Shivaloka, to Vaikuntha Loka, and ultimately to Goloka Vrindavan. He was able to transfer himself, and so it was later revealed to him by Krishna that I became your spiritual master because I was thinking, when is he coming back to me? And then when finally Gopa Kumar came back to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, what did Krishna do? He fainted in ecstasy. He grabbed Gopa Kumar, embraced him, fell to the ground, fainted, and everyone thought Krishna was hurt. Call for a doctor. This is how much love Krishna has. So he has an anxiety over not just you, not just me, but everyone. So if we want to become Krishna conscious, here's a secret for you. Yes, we chant 16 rounds, obviously. Follow the four regulator principles. Avoid the 10 offenses, which we'll mention in a few minutes. That's true. This is just the bare minimum. Bare minimum. That's what makes you a human being. That's all. As a human platform. And, you know, devotee. Devotee. But there's different types of devotees. Which we'll describe in a second. So, but if you really want to make rapid spiritual progress, then it requires you take Krishna's service to relieve his anxiety to bring people to Krishna. In other words, as Krishna says in the Gita, no one is more dear to me than he who teaches this Bhagavad Gita, he who preaches Krishna consciousness, he who brings people to Krishna. This is the methodology. Otherwise, and I describe, we'll talk about the different types of devotees, if you don't understand that, then you simply remain on the Kanishtha platform. There's three different types of devotees. There's the Kanishtha, materialistic
devotee.
What's a materialistic devotee? It's an almost devotee. It's a Vaishnava Praya, maybe half devotee, whatever. A Kanishtha is someone who, yes, he does his japa and everything, goes to the temple, sees Krishna, great, dances in ecstasy, but after he's finished doing his japa, after he's finished going to the temple, after he's finished eating his prasadam, then all hell breaks loose. At that point, you know, he treats everybody like exploiting people. He's not compassionate. He doesn't care whether someone's a devotee or not a devotee. It doesn't matter. No compassion. So that's almost a devotee, but it is a devotee, but almost a devotee. That's a Kanishtha Adhikari. And so one can be that. It's one, your own choice. Like I said, we have free will. We can choose. You can choose to be a nonsense Hare Krishna. Or you can choose to be something different. So above the Kanishtha Adhikari is the person who is on the Majjhama Adhikari. Majjhama means middle platform. So a Majjhama Adhikari devotee, what does he do or see? He sees that there are devotees, like more advanced devotees, less advanced devotees. He has some discrimination. He sees the innocent. He sees the envious. He sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he sees all these different classes. And if someone is innocent, innocent means basically they're not totally against God. I mean, there's some people who are totally against God. They've dedicated their whole life to God. So, you know, waste your time. Just like if you are involved in emergency medicine, and you come across a disaster scene, if someone's dead, you don't waste your time with them. You say, well, they're dead, you know. Call for the morgue. Call for the crematorium. But you don't waste your time. You spend your time with people who can be saved. You know, they're still breathing. Wow, take them to a hospital. So that's something like an innocent person. They still can be saved. Some people are just so much against God. They're committed atheists or whatever. And so you leave them alone. You don't hate them. You just pray for them. But you don't waste time. So that's a Majjhama Adhikari. But you spend your time making plans how to help people. That means whether you go out directly preach, whether you serve the Krishna conscious movement, because it's, as we described, this is a movement. This is a movement. So if you're serving the movement, you're serving the preaching. You're preaching. You're taking part in the preaching. Even if it's not your nature to speak, you're more shy. You like to sew or something. That's fine. You're serving the deities. You're serving the preaching. The deities are here to preach to everybody. That's fine. That's wonderful. So either preach directly, serve, and then it's a Majjhama Adhikari platform, and then you make rapid spiritual advancement because you are relieving Krishna's anxiety. Because when you have anxiety, when you have pain, that's the most important thing to you, isn't it? Let's say if you have a stomach ache. You're not worried about which rugby team is winning if you have a stomach ache, right? You're just thinking of your stomach. So when you have a headache, it's the same thing. Any sort of pain. So Krishna loves us so much he's in pain. So that's Majjhama Adhikari. Of course, higher than the Majjhama Adhikari is the Uttama Adhikari, but that's something that's really high. And by being a Majjhama Adhikari, helping others come to Krishna, one way or other, serving the Krishna consciousness movement, ultimately serving His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the Krishna consciousness movement, by doing that, one will come to the highest platform of devotional service. And an Uttama Adhikari, he's with Krishna 24 hours a day. He doesn't have to worry about finishing his rounds every day. Because he's always chanting. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshashika, what? Trinadapi suniche na tarari vasishnala manidam anadena kirtani asadahari. That when one's humble, but an Uttama Adhikari is ultimately so humble that he's thinking that everybody else is serving Krishna. Except for him. He's thinking, I'm just a servant. I was just listening to a class of Prabhupada's where Prabhupada was talking to some of his disciples and he said, my spiritual master has sent you all to help me. Otherwise, he said, I could not be successful. So this is great humility. Everybody has a mobile phone? Please turn it off. Or put it on silent or put it on vibrate, if you can do that. So, anyway, so that's Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. So today, the devotees are taking the basic vows. As I mentioned before, that's just the basic vows. There has to be more than that to make rapid spiritual progress. But that's the ground floor. That's the foundation. What are the basic vows? No meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Very easy. Plus, chanting a certain number of rounds a day. And chanting the rounds means chanting with attention. Because inattention is the cause of offenses. And when you commit offenses, Krishna's not pleased with you. Because you're inattentive. And the offenses you commit when you're inattentive are 10 in number. Of course, the most dangerous one, as far as I'm concerned, is the first offense, which is to blaspheme, criticize, denigrate devotees, or those who have dedicated their lives to spiritual life, to Krishna consciousness. Why is that? Well, it's described that this offense is, let's say metaphorically, called a mad elephant offense. Mad elephant offense means you don't have elephants here in Fiji, so you wouldn't understand. But elephants are quite big. If you ever get stepped on by an elephant, that's it. You're finished. So if an elephant ever gets into your garden, that's it. It's finished. Completely finished. Elephants weigh, you know, many, many tons. That's even a baby elephant. So you have a garden right now. And that garden is in your heart. And in your heart has been planted a seed. What's called the Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of the creeper of devotion. And that seed has been planted by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's representatives of Srila Prabhupada's books. It's described that somehow or other, by Krishna's mercy, we've gotten that seed, Brahmanda Brahmate Kanda Bhagyuan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Bhakti Pup, Lata Bij. We've gotten that seed after all of our wandering in this material universe. And we want to cultivate the seed nicely. In other words, water it nicely, that's hearing and chanting. We want to protect it. Just like before I joined the movement, I was growing vegetables. Not here in Fiji. In Fiji you grow kava, not vegetables. I was growing vegetables, vegan. And so I had a nice vegetable garden. And I was so happy, oh, I don't have to join the movement because I have my little garden. So one day I woke up and the cows had escaped and my garden was finished. They had eaten. Cows like to eat these things. So they eat my whole garden, so I thought, now I have to join the Hare Krishna movement because my garden is finished. Yeah, that was my last attachment, the garden, and then Krishna just took it away. And fortunately, Prabhupada was there too. So that also helped. So we have to protect our garden, our creeper, and when you commit offenses against devotees, then everything just gets wiped out. and your attachment for chanting. Like if you're chanting right now and it's really hard to concentrate and you're not feeling anything, there's a reason. You're committing that offense. Your chanting becomes so difficult. It's 16 rounds feels like 16 million rounds. If you're committing that offense. So that's the first thing. Most important. You know, if you can do anything, don't criticize Vaishnavas. Even if they make a mistake, alright. You try to help them, can I help you, Prabhu? But don't say, yeah, he's an idiot. I don't like him. Here in Fiji, you get into all these different political things, isn't it? It's so interesting. It is so interesting. Like Srila Tamakrishna Maharaj told me, he said, wait till you taste the politics in Fiji. You will understand what a garam masala is then. It's so interesting. Everywhere, not just Fiji, but people criticize other Vaishnavas and they won't go where another Vaishnava is, even if their guru is there. Even their guru has flown 10,000 miles to see them. Oh, I can't go to see you, Guru Maharaj, because so-and-so Das is there. And I hate him. I'm sure you've seen that stuff happen. And come on. Life is not that bad. People are not that bad. I mean, if Prabhupada came someplace and Ravana was there, I'd go to see Prabhupada. So you're saying the Vaishnava is worse than Ravana. It's very bad. Anyway, so don't commit that offense. Second offense is another one that you do here in Fiji. It's quite a popular offense, isn't it? Consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. Of course, nobody thinks about Lord Brahma anymore. He's lonely. Because everybody's avoided him in Kali Yuga. Actually, practically, there's only one temple of Lord Brahma in all of India. So consider the demigods like Lord Shiva and Ganesh to be equal to, or the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. The demigods are nice. They're servants of Krishna. They're wonderful. Like, for example, on my altar, in my temple, I have a deity of Hanuman. I love Hanuman. But he's not God. He's a servant of God. He's Ramdut. He's not Ram. But some people think Hanuman is Ram. That's ridiculous. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. That people think that Hanuman is Ram and Ram are the same person. Isn't it? But they do. They think, oh, he's God. The gods. They go, oh, the gods. And you need like millions of altars, you know, for all the gods. And there's so many interesting stories about that. There was one demigod worshiper who wanted to worship a demigod. This story is there in the Mahabharata. He wanted to worship a demigod that nobody else worshipped. You know, the 80 million demigods, so. So he looked around, he found a cloud that was a demigod, started to worship, and he got money, he got everything he wanted. Because he was the only worshiper of that one demigod. That's pretty good, isn't it? So if you're going to worship the demigods, find someone who doesn't have any devotees. And they'll bless you more. So, anyway, the demigods are servants, they're great devotees, we appreciate them, we pay respects to them, fantastic. But they are servants of Krishna. Ekala Ishra Krishna Avasabdha Vritcha. That's the demigods. So the next offense to be avoided is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is speaking, representing Krishna. And one should not follow blindly the spiritual master. You know, one time Prabhupada tested a devotee by giving a devotee an instruction, and he wanted to see how the devotee would respond. The devotee went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. I want to be a sannyasi." And Prabhupada said, "No, you should get married." And so it was a test. So the devotee failed the test because next day he came with his wife to see Prabhupada, or fiance. So sometimes there'll be tests like that. You should go to Pakistan. So anyway, so one takes the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul, that's all. And that look at Prabhupada. Take the example of Prabhupada. What differentiates Prabhupada from every one of his god brothers? Can you think of the one thing? They've all chanted Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said they're all going back to Godhead. Because he took the order of his guru, which other people got that same order, he took that order as his life and soul. That's really the differentiation. You know, of course, he's most exalted. We understand that. So he's showing us he became empowered. He was empowered because he took that order as his life and soul. Even at an advanced age. That's the secret. So we should follow the instruction of Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. The next offense to be avoided is the blasphemy of Vedic literatures, or literatures that are in the same vein, pursuance in the same vein. Of course, that's not very common here. Most people don't blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or any religious literatures in any tradition that glorify God, whether it's Christianity, the Islamic tradition, or any tradition that glorifies the Supreme Personality of God by his various names. Very, very important. So, next offense is to think the glories of chanting are imaginary. In other words, I'm chanting, but I could also be chanting some Bollywood song. Right? What's the name of Bollywood? I won't mention the name of Bollywood song. I could be listening to who's a Bollywood actress? Subhuk knows. Anyway, don't tell me. So I could be listening to so-and-so, and then like that. Like the movie, oh my God. Anyway, so, no, it's not the same thing. It's not imagination. You could be singing anything. The next one is to give some perverted, imaginative interpretation of the holy names. There are bona fide understandings of what we call interpretations of the holy names. Like, Krish. Does anyone understand what the word Krish, or the Krish, part of the word Krishna, Krish means? It means to attract. Like a tractor. What does a tractor do? It pulls something. So Krish means to attract. And then you have Na, means what? Don't attract me. It means Ananda. Got it? That's a bona fide understanding because that's given by the Acharyas. Krish, to attract. Krishati. Krishi go raksha vanijan vaisha karma subhavata. Anyway. And then Na, Ananda. Also, sometimes they take that as mean Na means negation of the material miseries. Krishna. Interesting, isn't it? That's bona fide. But if I make up my own meaning to the word Krishna, or I say Krishna means me, then that's an offense. So don't make any concocted meanings to the holy name. Next offense to be avoided is actually quite common too. It's commit sins on the strength of chanting. That means that I can do things. It's like, let's make a comparison with the Catholic religion where they have confession. Some of you may know about this. Well, in the Catholic religion, not many Catholic people here in Fiji, but in the Catholic religion, what happens is that if they do some sinful activity, they go and confess to the priest. at the end of the week. And they say, "Dear Father, I drank kava this week." And the priest would say, "You're forgiven, my dear son." And they say, "Phew, thank God." And the next week, same thing. "I drank kava. You're forgiven, my dear son." Doesn't work. Doesn't really work like that. One time, you can forgive him, maybe twice, that's it. After that, no more. Doesn't work. And there's another religion, I can mention, it's the Jewish religion, where they have one day a year to confess. It's actually better, you don't have to worry about confessing all year round. It's called the Day of Atonement. Anyone's heard about this before? It's called the Jewish name is Yom Kippur. Anyway, it's a Day of Atonement. So one day a year, you go and you say, "Oh, I'm sorry for what I did." You fast for one day. "I confess, I was bad. Lord, forgive me." And that's it. Whew. The rest of the year, party time. So we shouldn't do that offense with the holy name. You shouldn't say, "Oh, Hare Krishna, free of sins, wow, Hare Bo. Pass the liquor. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Jai, Hare Bo, Goranga." You can't do that. So, that's an offense many people commit. They think, "Oh, I'm a Hare Krishna. I could do anything." And then, the next offense is to consider chanting Hare Krishna to be like one of the rituals. Like we have the rituals, many rituals we have. One of the rituals is, we wear a dhoti, or we have tilak, or the men have a little sika, or, things like that. Which is nice. It's part of culture. There's a lot of cultural things we do to help us identify as devotees. They're good things. Rituals are good things. They're not bad things. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, if you compare the chanting of Hare Krishna to a billion Ashwamedha sacrifices, the Ashwamedha was the horse sacrifice, or even these, we're not sacrificing a horse today. We're just sacrificing a little ghee. But if you compare the chanting of Hare Krishna, one chanting of Hare Krishna to a million, a billion horse sacrifice, big sacrifices, you're a demon. In other words, it's the Yuga Dharma. Krishna is there. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Purna Shuddha Vichamukto Vinatvam Namanamato. Krishna is 100% there. So it's not a question that it's compared to anything else, not comparable to arti, not comparable to anything else. Chanting, and if you chant, you basically get rid of all inauspicious things. Instead of having to go to a Ghostbuster here in Fiji, we mentioned this the other day, you all like to go to the witch doctors, Ghostbusters, right? One time I was in Surrey. Who was with me when I got rid of the ghost? No, you weren't with me. Someone was with me, no. This is years ago, before you were born. So I was in Missouri, and there was a girl who was haunted by a ghost. And they called for me to get rid of the ghost. I said, "Well, I'm the famous Ghostbuster." Anyways, so I went there. I started chanting. So I did. I didn't do any rituals. I didn't pick out any human bones and wave them over her head. Or shrunken heads or anything like that. All I did was chant the holy names. And this girl who was haunted by a ghost, she started screaming, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" The ghost was talking, actually, through her mouth. And then all of a sudden she faints, opens her mouth, and the ghost flies away. And I said, "Get the H-E-L-L out of here." So... And the ghost went away. And that's by chanting. That's not even the main effect of chanting. The main effect of chanting is pure love of God. So the ghost went away. Very easy. Prabhupada got rid of a ghost in a house just by tapping on the wall and chanting Hare Krishna. Because ghosts hide in the walls during the day. You didn't know that? They don't like the light. That's why they love bars. You don't understand? Where people take an intoxication because they're dark. So, anyway, so don't think it's chanting Hare Krishna is a ritual. Next defense is don't instruct people who are going to blaspheme about the holy name of the Lord. In other words, don't instruct the faithless, is how it's described. In other words, be careful of presenting too much to someone who's going to criticize. Like if someone is envious of you and your family, you don't start showing them your little child. You don't say, oh, here's a little Krishna doll, you know, and someone hates you. You're not going to do that. So if you have something very valuable, or let's say if you have a lot of valuable money, jewelry, and like that, you don't go before dacoits, gundas. You don't show it, you just hide it. So you're supposed to hide your devotion unless someone is actually ready to hear about it. So that's an offense. And then final offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments, even understanding some of the instructions of the matter. So what that means is that we're trying to get rid of our material attachments. It's not offensive to have material attachments, but we should try to eventually to get rid, because these material attachments are causing us pain. Lust causes us pain. Anger causes us pain. Greed causes us pain. All these different anarthas, that means unwanted things, they cause us pain. They just make us work hard. It's like coming here, on the way here, we saw, there was one person who I know, who has a lot of money in his bank account, but he wants more and more and more. So even though he has so much money in his bank account, he was driving a bus to make more. Nothing wrong with driving a bus, but if you have millions of dollars in your bank account, you don't need to drive a bus. Anyway. It's funny. So we just want more and more and more. So much wealth is mine today. So much more do I want tomorrow. He is my enemy. I have conquered him. Not a good idea. So, anyway, those are the offenses on chanting. And that's the reason for giving up the offenses on chanting. As far as positively, we study Lord Chaitanya's eight prayers, Shikshashtaka. That Lord Chaitanya practices his only writing that he's given us. On how to chant the holy names, the different mood that one should have in chanting the holy names. Like, Ay Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavamudo Kripya Tavapadapanka Cha Sita Duli Sadrasam Vachintaya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj. In other words, he's talking to Krishna. He is Krishna, but he's talking to Krishna. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servitor, but somehow or other become entrapped in this horrible material world. Please fix me up as your servant, as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So in this way, we should take the right mood, the mood of devotion. Krishna, save me. Krishna, help me save other people. Krishna, let me serve you. And we are so fortunate in the Krishna Consciousness Movement that we've been given all this information by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, without whom none of us would be sitting here today. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. What that means is he sets the mood, he sets the structure of our movement, the structure of our daily lives, and if we can dedicate ourselves to his service, we can serve him eternally here in this world and also in the spiritual world. So that's initiation. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So then we'll continue with the name-giving portion of the initiation. Okay? So we have five people who are taking their vows. As we said, the vow is to chant 16 rounds minimum a day, of course. On Ekadasi, it's good to chant more rounds. Some devotees chant 25 rounds. When I don't have anything to do, which is rare, then I chant 64 rounds on Ekadasi. And it's very blissful. Actually, the holy name is full of bliss. I mean, it's Krishna. Krishna attracts you, like I said before, negates the material existence and gives you Ananda. Okay, so now we'll call for the devotees one by one. So first, Manisha Lal. What? Oh yeah, put on the neck beads. So make sure I get the right. Well, about the right beads. So as we call for each person, the first thing that they should do is offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, then offer obeisances to the deities, and then come here and you offer respects, obeisances, and you take the vows and get your name. So you're vowing to chant 16 rounds, follow four regulated principles, bare minimum. And when one makes a vow, makes a promise, they should stick to those promises no matter what. I can say that since I've taken initiation in 1972, beginning of 72, I've chanted my rounds every single day. Never missed one day. Pretty good. That's an example. It's not that I'm bragging, it's just an example. Okay. Neck beads, and Gokul Bandhu is doing the sacrifice. He's an expert Brahmin. He's from Lambasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the neck beads, of course, these are called Kanti Mala. That means the beads for the neck. And these signify that we're servants of Krishna. One time Prabhupada said, you can compare these beads to a dog collar. Because we're Krishna's servants, we're Das. In Bengal, if you have the name Das in your name, it means you're a servant. So Vaishnavas take this name because we're servants of Krishna. Jivara Swarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. And that's blissful. Because we're always servants. We can serve our senses. We can serve our boss at work. We can serve our family. We're always serving. Or we can serve our tongue. So, okay. Obeisances. Prabhupada, deities. Me. Or this body.
Hari Bol, everybody.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And all the names that devotees get signify that they're servants of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna.
so what are the four regulative principles? No gambling. No meat eating.
No illicit sex.
No illicit sex. And no intoxication, including kava. So you get the beads with your right hand, and your name now is Malika Devi Dasi. Malika Devi Dasi. So Malika, of course, is two things. It's the name of a flower in Vrindavan, Malika flower, and also the name of one of the gopis, Radharani's associates. Malika Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All right. And next is, what's it, who's beads next? We got to see. Next is, oh, Ashutosh. Ashutosh. Okay. So, there you go. So, what are the four regular principles?
No meat eating.
No meat eating? What about fish and eggs?
No gambling.
What?
No gambling.
You didn't say fish or eggs?
No. No meat eating, fish or eggs.
Good. Yeah.
No gambling. No intoxication.
No intoxication.
No illicit sex life.
Okay. And how many rounds every day, Jay?
Minimum 16.
Minimum 16 rounds. Okay. So you get the beads with your right hand. And your name now, got it, is Ajita Das. Ajita means unconquerable. So Krishna is not conquerable, but he is conquerable by devotion. Vijay, Haribol. Okay, let's see who's Vijay next. What? Okay, next we have Devendra. Okay, Devendra. Oh, you got a special name. Okay, and what are the four regular principles?
No meat taking, no consuming vegetarian food.
Yeah.
And no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Good. And how many rounds every day?
Minimum of 16 per day.
Okay. So, Devendra, your name is, get the beads with your right hand. Dhanurdhara. Dhanurdhara. That means someone who is heroic, like a bowman. Like, it's the name of Arjuna, actually. You've heard that name before?
Yes.
Dhanurdhara. Dhanurdhara. Danur. Danur, like there's Danur Veda, which is the Veda of fight, but don't fight. The Veda of archery and sword fighting. But that doesn't, that means someone's heroic and you fight for Krishna.
Dhanurdhara.
Here, here's the piece of paper so you can see how it's spelled. Okay, and Jesus said, Adropati. Yay, Adropati. Very nice. And, I have your name. So I'd like to give out a piece of paper so people know how the name is spelled. So, what are the four regulative principles? No meat.
No intoxication.
Intoxication.
No gambling.
Gambling, yeah, no gambling. No sex. Okay, very good. And so you get the beads with your right hand. Your name is the name of Radharani, a very special name of Radharani. It's Daya Rupa Devi Dasi. Daya Rupa means the form of compassion. Daya means compassion. You understand? Rupa means form. Daya Rupa Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Here.
Daya Rupa Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
And finally, Okay, there's Shobna. Whoops. Did we miss someone? Do we have an extra set of beads here? Whose beads are these? Oh, extra beads. Okay. Okay. So, what are the four regulative principles?
No gaming, no intoxication, and no eating meat, no insects.
Okay. Very good. And how many rounds every day? Minimum 16 rounds. Okay. So your name is, you get the beads with your right hand. Whoops. So your name is very interesting. Shanti Devi Dasi. That means, of course, very peaceful, but it's the name of Radharani also. Shanti. Every husband wishes his wife would be Shanti. Isn't that true? Is it? You say your wife all the time, Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
The name.
Oh, name, I didn't give it. Okay, sorry about that. Whoops. Okay, that's how you spell it. Shanti. Okay, now we have fire sacrifice. Actually, does everybody have a mala? She could share some of mine if there's not enough. There's enough for everybody? What about the priest? Okay. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Nice seeing everybody online. It's Dhanurdhara. And let's see. Oh, we got everybody watching. Vishwanath Prabhu. Krishna, Mayapur, Siddharma, Leela Shakti, wow, got a lot of people. Okay, I'm signing off. Well, actually, we'll let you see the temple. This is Lotoka, Fiji.